Well, there's probably more than one response, but I think of a third one, as you're saying it. It's in 1 John chapter 1, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we put that into the daily life of a believer, too, the ongoing confession, he is faithful to cleanse so that there is an opportunity for a renewed opportunity for service.
There's actually seven places in the New Testament. I feel like Alfred Bauder right now. There's actually seven places in the New Testament where it says he is faithful or God is faithful. And I'm not going to give them to us right now. But in each place, it shows the character of God and it shows who he is and what he's willing to do for us. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. That's in Timothy. He'll be faithful and not allow us to be tempted above what we can endure, but will provide a way of escape for us. So in each of those places, it shows his character, and it also challenges our heart in each of those places. And I think that's what he's doing here. He's challenging our heart. And I just want to underline this as to what Steve said, as to this being the first washing in 10:22 of Hebrews. The first washing would connect to Exodus 29. In Hebrews, particularly, where it talks about sanctification, it's talking about it as a past tense thing. Now, I know in chapter 2, in the New King James, it says, those who are being sanctified and he who sanctifies, but the word being shouldn't be there. So it's looking at it as the fact that we are sanctified. So it's looking at it as, in Hebrews, particularly, it's looking at our position. And I think that's important. But along with the position then, because of that position, the challenge is there in chapter 10 with what Steve already gave us.
The thought that came as you were talking about the faithfulness of God, I think, in a practical sense, there are many, you know, many of us, many in amongst the broader Christian faith that struggle with very intense types of temptations. And as you guys are talking, it's almost this reassuring thing from the Word of God, which says that he's faithful in helping. Like, there's probably a lot of folks who struggle with various temptations, and they may think, you know, there's no hope, that this is something that is insurmountable. This is something that I cannot overcome. But the Word of God says that he is faithful in providing deliverance and sanctifying us from whatever temptations that we may struggle with.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, particularly with what you just said. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so just that, it's a beautiful study. Go through, find out all seven of those places where it says God is faithful, because it in every one of them, it has to do with your practical Christianity, your, if we could use this term, your practical sanctification.
The thought of how everything that we've been looking at this week really points us to Christ. I just wanted to bring up a point about, you know, we talk about God is faithful, but we also have the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
He says in his prayer in John 17, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is John 17, verse 16. And then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, and I think, you know, talking about the faithfulness of God is that God is, this is his business. He wants us to understand himself. He wants us to be in fellowship with himself. But he knows that there are things that are going to defile us and cause us to not be able to enjoy the place that he wants us to be. And so he prays, the Lord prays, he sanctifies himself in order for us. But then he prays and asks God that he might do this through the truth. And so again, we can't get away from the Word of God. If the Word of God is not part of my daily consumption, if the Word of God is not the truth that's in the Word of God, not something that I've given myself to meditation and to thinking on and to asking God to show me how this applies to where I'm at, whether it means something to lead me in a more deep devotion in worship as a personal development, or whether it's something corrective in order to be adjusted. But the Word of God has to start to mean more to me, because I understand this is how I can be of better service and better be in a better position to enjoy the things of God, and then be in a better position to represent the interests and the things of God in this world.
And I think it's important, too, that we have the Word of God. We've mentioned that. The Lord Jesus said, the verses that Mark just brought us to in John 17. But we need to also understand that we have a faithful high priest in glory, and he's interceding. That's one of my favorite verses in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that he ever lives to make intercession for me. That just thrills my heart. And so he's praying in heaven for me. And when we think about that, he's praying that I be set apart for him here. In the context of what I'm sure he's praying for other things for me. There's a lot of things to pray for. But just to think about that, and I want us to think about the resources that we have for our sanctification in a practical sense. Mm-hmm. We have a man in the glory who's praying for us. We have the Word of God in our hands. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. And we have brothers and sisters to help us. There's really no excuse for me to say, I just don't feel like being sanctified today. I mean, I have all the resources. And so we need to be encouraged and each of those resources.
Verse in the same line, Psalm 51.
Yeah, very good.
So raise your hand if you can remember the last time that you killed somebody.
Just kidding.
We'll talk to you later.
Physically or in my mind?
No, I meant physically, actually. Okay. Yeah, because Psalm 51 is written after David killed somebody, committed murder, committed adultery, and committed murder to cover it up. And the thought I would like to just emphasize in the same line of what we're talking about here is that God wants to wash us. He wants to wash us. And this is it's what water does. Is it washes. I remember this saying, I don't know, maybe you might have heard it too, about the effect of water. It's dilution is the solution to pollution. Dilution is the solution to pollution. Now it's too bad that we do that in the ocean and pollute the ocean. But the idea was, you know, if you have too much dirt somewhere, you dilute the dirt, you dilute the chemical solution maybe that's got too much acid or whatever. You can dilute anything, and it's going to it's going to be affected by the water. It's what water does. And so if we're applying the Word of God, if we're using the resources that God has for washing, we're going to be washed. It's not that God wants us to be kept away when we realize the awfulness, the terrible things that would make us unworthy for his presence. It's that God wants to wash us. And so in Psalm 51, maybe you found the verse already. It's in verse 7. The second half, he says, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." I shall be whiter than snow. In Isaiah chapter 1, God says, "Come, let us reason together. I will wash you. Even if your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them as white as wool. They'll be like snow. They'll be as white as wool."